Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Let's start the show. Good afternoon, everybody. Hope your Wednesday is treating you good. Your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Michael Comer. Michael, good to have you here.
Oh, happy to be here.
Good to have you here, man. It's awesome. We're going to have some fun today. We got a whole hour to play with, though. We're going to do that. We'll be able to do it thanks to our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing and, of course, Family Natural Foods. Big shout-out to both of them giving us the hour here to hang out with you and get your sports takes and feelings out. Keep in mind, everybody, quick PSA, get those sports takes out of your system. You don't want to keep them in there too long. I had an uncle that was just doing this for too long and everything, and then one day, you know, just started shooting just at random people on the L train. Which I kind of fit in with the L.
Sweet home Chicago.
715-424-2600. Call up, enjoy the conversation. Looking forward to hanging out with each and every one of you. Mike and I got plenty to talk about today, but let's talk to you first. Good morning, or good afternoon. You're in the game.
Well, obviously, it's been a rough day for you already, if you're calling it morning.
No, you have no idea, man. You have no idea. I care too much about this audience to ramble about how long my days, or Michael's has been for that matter. So what's on your mind, man?
Well, you know, like you said, it's just been built up too long, 2 weeks for me.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I'm with you guys, been a while, you know, and you know, actually, I don't think I've been on it even since opening days happened.
So that's right, at least
in Milwaukee. But yeah, it's been a while since I've been on, and I got a few takes, and I think some Brewer fans that were about ready to jump off the roof after that Yankee series, they thought that the season was over for the Brewers. Boy, some of those young guys are starting to really heat up right now, and I know it's early, but I mean, you get those guys going, I think it could be a good season for Milwaukee. I mean, I know the Cubs are playing well right now too themselves, but.
You know, I was looking at MLB.com and looking at just some of the random stats out there because I had heard one that drew me over there of most runs scored so far in baseball, and that the Cubs have the most runs scored so far in baseball, and that blew me away. I didn't quite catch that, and I feel like I've been paying pretty good attention to it. And to your point, Cubs are at 1, Yankees at 2, Cardinals at 3. Yeah. And that took me as almost more by surprise than the Cub thing, and not like, again, I hadn't been paying attention, but I didn't feel like that the Cardinals or Cubs had been scoring that much. So much attention. Right. And this is part of the problem where there's so little reporting in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one story, everybody clamors to it. So everybody's talking torpedo bat, torpedo bat, torpedo bat. And meanwhile, there's other, you know, like 19,000 other stories going on in baseball that nobody's covering. That are much more interesting than, not to say that the torpedo bat thing was not interesting to me. It certainly was. But it was for about 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, everybody's talking about this. This is getting old real quick. And then, unfortunately, any like real interesting conversation about that has yet to happen, I think. All anybody wants to talk about, is it fair? Is it not? Blah, blah, blah. Nobody wants to take 2 minutes of reporting and find out that these things have been around for a while, that this isn't the first time the bat has changed.
Right.
Which was wild to me that people that are paid to do this for a living, and they were blown away by the fact that this is not the first time a bat has been evolved or anything. So some of this stuff is really surprising. I don't think it's surprising about the Brewers. And I'll say this about literally any team outside of the Chicago White Sox. The opening week means nothing. Means nothing. It means some at the end of the season when you're talking wins and losses, sure. But other than that, it means nothing. I think that there's much bigger things to focus on, positive and negative, for any one of our teams out there in the first weeks or two. So, yeah, I think you're right, man. I think a lot of Brewer fans are probably immediately like, wait a minute, I don't want to burn up my jersey yet. Maybe I don't want to sell my tickets just yet because it's a long, long season.
Well, I mean, even, you know, just how the season started, it was the Yankees, and yeah, that torpedo bat, they were talking about it, and it was talked about for a little bit. People are thinking, well, maybe Major League Baseball is going to, you know, not do nothing to it. You know, I don't think they will, because if there's a lot of runs being scored this year, and if it's all because everybody's starting to kind of use that torpedo bat, or what, but there's been this start to season off, there's been a lot of runs scored, and Major League Baseball wants that, because what's going to do, it's going to bring more eyes to the game, and it makes things more interesting for the fans, and fans are going to want to come to the games, and yeah. So they're not, if it's working and scoring runs, Major League Baseball is not going to do nothing about it.
Not at all. I mean runs and points, you know, runs, touchdowns, goals, they're cool, they're sexy, they're what people want to see. They don't want to see they don't want to see pitching, they don't want to see strong defense, they don't want to see outstanding goaltenders. They want to see what wins you games, which arguably those things win you games. Those things probably win you more games or more meaningful games, but they want to see the points scored.
Right.
One of the things that's and we're going to see a lot more of this, in part because the main question I was going to start off the show with and everything, it kind of leads into this. But so the Brewers make a move for a starting pitcher recently, and not a name or anything like that, but just an arm. And the consensus is he's an arm. Yeah, they gave up a little bit for him and everything, but we need arms right now, and we're desperate for them and everything. And this isn't a surprising thing, like right before the trade deadline, or even, you know, with the secondary trade deadline or something like that. But it, the first weeks of the season to be desperate for starting pitching. For any franchise, and the Brewers are not alone in this.
No, they're not.
And the Dodgers were like this last year.
Yep.
It makes me ask the question, is Major League Baseball going to run out of pitchers? Like, literally run out of pitchers. Like, there's nobody. Like, it happens in games all the time where you got the catcher out there throwing a knuckleball or something like that.
Yep.
I'm not being serious here, but at the same time, if I'm right, we gotta pretend that I was serious. If it turns out that baseball's like the last month of the season and all there is outfielders starting pitching, because while this is not a serious take and it's not a serious situation yet. It is becoming more and more of an issue and more of a problem. And until they actually work on the problem and not just try to throw Band-Aids at it, it's going to continue to be. And I feel like this is one of those situations where if we want something done, we can't wait for baseball. We can't wait for anybody else to do it. We've got to do this on our own personal level. My brother, and I'm obviously biased about it. I love my little brother. But one of the things that I think he's done really well with his son, Mason, is really pushing him to like, hey, I know you like football, but you also like soccer. So go ahead and do that too. And you know what? If you want to play baseball, let's go ahead and get you a mitt. Let's get you out there. And making him play multiple sports.
Multi-sport athletes are the best thing. And I've talked ad nauseum on this show about that. And even in private conversations, multiple sport athletes are your best athletes, in my opinion. I mean, you can have some excellent athletes that specialize. And I've seen some pretty good athletes leave football to focus on basketball and baseball. And that's all fine and dandy. That's cool. Football's a pretty rough one compared to the other two. But every one, if you do it right, every single one of them will make you better at each other. It's like it's like your best tacklers or wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know, for example. Some of your best wrestlers in terms of conditioning are cross country. So I mean, and that's how you avoid a lot of injuries too.
Yes.
Those specialized injuries. That your tennis elbow or whatever you call it, whether it's rotator cuff or something along those lines. Well, playing tennis probably isn't going to help that for baseball, or vice versa.
I think that the only thing that solves this is adults being adults and the adult in the room and telling the kid no if they want to do something, or telling themselves no and not living vicariously through their kids.
And that that's getting worse and worse, I think.
Until that happens, I don't think it matters at all. Any barking we do about this or anything, you know, mannered or anybody in baseball wants to do about it or anything, that until that changes on a local, on a house level, not even local, on a house to house level, I don't know what we're going to see any difference here.
Right.
Well, let's go back to when we were youth. Did they have the AAU? Did they have soccer that they can play inside year round? Did they have hockey where they play hockey year round? It is hard to have a multi-sport athlete out there, because if their favorite sport is football or hockey or soccer or baseball, they have these leagues now that these guys are that. They don't have time to play another sport because if they're not at these practices for AAU, or if they're not at the baseball practice for hitting for the traveling, you know, for the Central Wisconsin teams, So it's hard for these kids nowadays to actually be a multi-sport athlete. And like you said, Michael, that you've talked ad nauseum about this multi-sport. I've talked ad nauseum on how these kids are being developed at the young age.
Right.
At the age of 9, 10, 11 yep. years old, throwing curveballs.
Yep.
By the time they do, if they do make it to the major leagues, their arms are shot.
And think about this, Kevin. What you're talking about on this level is happening all over the country with talented kids. So then they get to the college level and they decide to transfer, and people are shocked. People are surprised that these kids right. want to go somewhere else. That it's a little bit like what I heard some people talking about recently with Luka Doncic. This is a child prodigy, and people are surprised he's spoiled and he whines to the refs every 5 seconds. Like you get what you put in, man.
I mean,
you,
so is LeBron.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look who he looked up to. I'll tell you this: Michael didn't need to do that, but we'll move on. That's an argument nobody could ever beat me on, only because I refuse to die on that hill. Yeah. I will not die on that hill. When it comes to all of those factors, it's not surprising when these kids get to college that they don't necessarily have a understanding what loyalty is or what a business is or what it means to your word means when, you know, every one of these programs is trying to latch them up when they're 10, 12 years old. Again, I feel like this is something, and look, nobody's giving me a Father of the Year mug, but I feel like this is another one of those things where the parent, you got to be the parent. And if you got to be the bad guy in the room, you got to be the bad guy in the room. That's sometimes the case. On the kid level, it's important for them to learn these things because this is another thing that I'd like to see. They don't. Most of these kids are on social media and hear most of the talk that's about them and their generation and a lot of this. And I would like to see them do something about it and not need the NCAA to muck it up or anything like that. And them just collectively. I'm not even saying they got to get together as a group or anything, but just individually being like, you know what? No, it means something. I'm staying. Here. Maybe this guy's starting over me right now, but I made a commitment to here and I'm staying here. On a job application, that looks pretty good. And this is still a job interview you're doing in college. Mm-hmm. It's still a job interview. Every single snap you have in college athletics is a job interview.
Yep.
I think that shows almost as good much character as having a 1,000-yard season, especially to NFL owners. And especially more and more, we have to remind people in this time of year in the NFL draft, they don't care about stats. None of these NFL owners care about stats. None of these scouts care about stats. You got the kid from Texas A&M, got one sack last year, going to be a top 10 pick. Like, they don't care about that. Anthony Richardson's going to start this year for Indianapolis all because of his combine that was 2 years ago. And it's nothing against him. I don't mean a shot at him or nothing,
no.
But we all see that from time to time, the combine freakout. That's what they're looking at. So I don't know. I think that you say much more when you can stay and see something through. Maybe we'll see that more if we see it more on a young level. You got to teach them young. You can't expect them to be 18, 19 years old and all of a sudden have a complete moral compass, like all just intact. You can't download that stuff, man. You got to earn that. You got to learn it until we start doing that more in sports. And why not? What is the downside to any of this? What's the downside to pushing back on all these different groups that are going around the country trying to snap up these kids and get them a part of tournaments so that they can get seen by scouts? So this is all it does is help them. It yeah. doesn't help a dang one of these kids.
Look at how talent evaluators, that they're finding this in 8, 9, 10-year-old kids are the next prodigy, the next what? I remember there was a couple of my stories where I remember back when I wrestled that if you didn't wrestle freestyle and Greco through the summer and you wanted to break the really good chance to break the varsity lineup at Lincoln, you need to wrestle all summer long. Now, they did encourage multi-sport athletes a lot, some really good football players in their own rights, and there's some pretty good baseball players too, but it was slave isn't the right word, but you are a working part of that wrestling program. That's what, and that's not a shot at the program because look what it turned out. So you have that going for it. But even to this day, you're seeing that more. Yeah, you'll have a couple football players cross over. I mean, Tanner Gormanson won a state championship wrestling for Rapids this year, but he was wrestling all summer long, whatever. But he did play football. I don't think he's doing anything in the spring other than fishing. And right now, it doesn't matter. He's a senior. but a lot of these times, we're forgetting the most important part here, guys. Kids are not being allowed to be kids anymore.
Yeah.
No.
Truth.
So that's the biggest thing, whether it's AAU blowing out an elbow, a shoulder, a knee, whatever. They're not allowed to be kids anymore, and that's probably the worst part. And probably why, not to step on that stone too hard, but why society is the way it is because kids aren't being allowed to be kids anymore.
It ain't helping.
No.
Definitely ain't helping anything. Mike, I wanted to get to both of you guys on takes and early takes on the baseball season, certainly, if you got any more of those. But I also am ready to talk NFL draft if anybody's ready to.
Yeah, go ahead. Speak draft. I mean, we talked about it last time. You can't get too excited the first month and a half.
I just I don't know. I think that it means a little bit different. I know that it means a little bit something different because it's in-state. And there's something about it, even if I don't get a chance to go, it's an hour and a half, 2 hours away from me and everything. Yeah. Like, there's something, I'll never be closer to it, probably. Right. Realistically, in my life, I'll probably never be closer to it.
Yeah, the draft, yep.
And I'm a nerd about this, man. I love this thing. I in part love what I enjoy about it is, one major part that I've felt since I was a kid, every time this draft ends, I kind of look around and be like, wow, they got another one around. The way that sports is run is the weirdest thing of all businesses. And there is no other business in the world. You graduate, you're the top accountant in your class, and then you get drafted to go and play for, you know, work for this, you know, this business, right, or something like that or anything. It doesn't work that way. You go wherever you want. In college sports, in pros, you are drafted. In every single major sport, you are drafted onto a team. Otherwise, you know, signing as an unsigned free agent or something like that.
Yeah.
And sports continues to get away with it because nobody's got a better way to do this. And I find it hilarious and also just like almost nostalgic. And even though it's still current, even though it's still happening, I don't know that this is going to be that in 20 years from now, this is still how we do things in sports. But I'm going to enjoy it right now because, for one, I have yet to hear anybody give me a better option. The idea that you just let these guys be free agents coming out of college is insanity. It's insanity.
I was just going to say that they're going to be, the Packers might be affiliated with a couple colleges,
yeah,
and they're going to be basically the college is going to be their
farm system,
their minor league system, and they're just going to pull them that way.
I think that would get back to real old school football where it was so regional, and most of the team was made up of people from that state.
Baseball.
Baseball, too. St. Louis.
I mean, you talk about, I don't want to get in trouble for saying the exact location in the city, but it's what the locals called, so I'll just go for it. It's what the locals called, no disrespect to anybody, Dago Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Italian area.
I'll let you buy that.
Yeah. But I mean,
is the Italian in the room? You can say it.
I mean, Yogi Berra came off there.
Come on, yeah.
Joe Garagiola. I mean, all these other all-time greats came out of that area. Now, some of them, did they leave St. Louis? Yeah, a few of them did. But like my grandpa, who played in the Cardinals farm system, which the Cardinals farm system of that era was, hey, we just got, here's a bunch of local teams that are kind of getting guys pulled up. And they're, okay, hey, we need a lefty. Oh, we need a right fielder. Oh,
and
they said, hey, there's a really good one on this town in Catawissa. Or in defiance, and go get them, you know?
I think this sounds like a lot of fun, and the Midwestern homer in me loves this idea until I start thinking about Texas and Florida teams.
Yeah.
and the amount of talent those teams would have.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know how fair things would be.
No.
Kev, is there anything, because I'm going to ask Michael this too, anything that stands out to you about the draft you're looking forward to? One of the things that I always like to look at is the guys that are the biggest risk, the biggest reward, the most sure fire kit, like some of that stuff in my head is kind of fun to look at. But I look at this a little bit in a third perspective because I'm not just a prisoner of the moment talking about right now. I'm actually thinking about the draft 3-4 years ago when I'm talking about this stuff because I think that's the only real way you can evaluate these guys. You can have a guy come out 2 years and be an all-pro, and then he's gone. He's gone. Look at Robert Griffin, just as an example. So I think the only way to really judge a draft class or a player is three, maybe even 4 years in, especially with quarterbacks.
Go ahead, Michael.
No, I think if you're going to do that, linemen, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, that's where you're going to see that develop in that time frame, unless man, they get thrown to the fire right away. But those skill position guys, they're unfairly expected to produce immediately. And you get a couple of really good receivers, like the Bears got a couple of good ones. Well, are they going to be as good as advertised? Is Fields going to develop into what he was predicted to be? Because the jury's still out on him after 1 year. And it might even be out after 2 years.
You mean Williams?
Excuse me. But now Fields is another example because he's playing better and better at the farther and farther he gets away from Chicago.
I don't think that I think that you might be one of the few that are still questioning if Caleb Williams is a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Not a starter, but what they build him up to be.
Now, that's different. Absolutely. Yeah, that's different. To me, one of the things that stands out that I think is cool when I'm thinking about this question is, and it used to not be this way, is that wide receivers are so much more a surefire thing now. Yeah. They're transitioning so much faster than the NFL than ever before.
Yeah.
As quick as I am to give shots at college sports for not developing these kids enough for the next level, that is one thing that I've been very impressed by. Wide receivers, I'd say for almost 4 or 5 years now, have transitioned to the NFL when you kind of figure out pretty quickly, okay, this guy can play. The mechanics that you need to know in college to be a good wide receiver are not that different than in the NFL, outside of obviously the tiptoe and getting 1 foot in and some of those things, which I think is another great conversation to have of if that should be changed in college sports. I don't want it to, but I do think it's a legitimate question if we're going to be doing what college sports is supposed to be, training these guys for the next level. For a long time, college basketball had completely different rule sets and a 3-point line than the NBA, and it mucked the whole thing up to the point where they're still struggling with it. I mean, look at
high school. They do halves. Now, college basketball, they do halves. In men's. In women's, they're doing quarters. And WNBA, they still do quarters. In men's, they do quarters. So in the NBA, they do quarters. So they need to either all go back to quarters to model it a little bit. And Randy Paul will be the guy to talk to more about that because he's got more of the theory and the concept on basketball than I do. But they need to get a little more uniform. I mean, football, it's always quarters. And in wrestling, it's still periods. In hockey, it's still three periods. So they need to get a little more uniform, personally.
Yeah, I think so. Kev, is anybody standing out to you? Anything you're liking about the draft or anything else that you wanted to get to before we let you go?
Well, I'm the draft end of it. When it comes to the Packers, they didn't do enough in free agency to address the needs that they have. I mean, as diehard Packer as I am, and there might be some Packer fans that are listening that might not like to take them and make. I don't see them winning a game again. They're a fingertip away of not winning a single game in the division.
Yeah.
Last year. A single game. And they have not addressed some of the issues. So, I don't know. I'm really disappointed in the Packers right now, and I guess that'd be the only interest that I would have is to see.
Here's hoping that they have read the room a bit and they understand that they're not only hosting the NFL draft, but they are a step behind in their division. Going off of last year, not even talking about free agency or anything like that, just going off of last year. Coming into this year, it's a different thing than last year, where last year they were a sneaky pick, not for a Super Bowl or anything like that, but you heard people talking a little bit about Jordan Love as MVP, possibly, and they were a romantic team to pick. I think that they came through on that in many ways, especially considering the injuries to Love and that. I don't think we've said enough about Malik Willis and his job last season.
Was amazing.
He walked off the plane in Lambeau and was immediately on the winning games on that team. To me, going into this season is completely a whole different set of expectations, where that last year pressure hasn't changed. It's still the same pressure from last year on this team. Now it's just, but what have you done for me lately? And I don't, if I am Matt LaFleur, and I care about this game, like it looks like he does, then I don't need anybody to tell me I'm on the hot seat. I'm putting a torch under my own seat. I'm making darn sure that I'm treating every game like it might be the last game I ever coach. There's too much on this team. There's too much money invested on this team. There's too many expectations on this team. And they're still the smallest market team in all of sports. If you have a window like this, it means different than it does in Dallas or New York or Chicago or anywhere else. You've got to hit on that. You got lucky 3 quarterbacks in a row. In a row. Nobody's done that. Go ahead and look at the whole history of the NFL. Heck, look at college sports. Nobody has done that. High school sports. Nobody's done that. You got one of the... Somebody has. Somebody definitely has.
Yeah, they have.
I'm just on a roll.
Point of order here.
No, they definitely have. They definitely have. But that's something you just... For the smallest market franchise to have that happen, to not have to drag a guy from free agency and overpay or something like that, man, you got to hit on that. And... The idea, back with Favre and Rodgers, it was multiple Super Bowls that you were looking for. Now, I think that no matter who you are, especially if you're Green Bay, but I don't care if you're Dallas or anybody else, win one.
One.
Just win one. That's impressive nowadays with the Mahomes machine going on, and the Josh Allen machine.
The parity of the league. The parity that the league has in general.
Yes.
But the other thing, too, is you got to talk about how spoiled Packer fans are if you're sitting there bringing down the house after an 11-6 season.
Yeah.
And all those losses were one possession. So, I mean, you got to give and take with it. But I get your point that you need to strike. And you need to strike soon. And, I mean, I'm not talking about making an NFC title game. We've seen enough of those. Mm-hmm. We're talking about make the big one and win the big one, not just make it like Buffalo, you know, the Four Falls of Buffalo.
Yeah. I think even like a Super Bowl appearance is a gigantic win.
It's a big step.
Gigantic. Yes, gigantic. Especially just considering that they've been so close a handful of times since the last one to be able to get to that point even. And what it means these days to lose a Super Bowl does not mean what it used to.
No.
We've seen, I mean, look at what Philly just did. That's a heck of an accomplishment to me, even more so because they lost a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Kev, we appreciate you putting up with the time and hanging out with us, man.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
You too.
See you, buddy.
You too. We'll be right back with more Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Family Natural Foods and Quality Post Printing. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR, live and direct. Local radio matters, and we appreciate you helping us do that. James and Michael hanging out with you. I always appreciate the double duty, the double headers, or the back-to-backs, back-to-backs that you do here, Michael, when you announce a game one day and you're in here putting up with me another. Let's talk about that a little bit. You were a little busy last night.
Yeah, not as busy as I thought I'd be, but I was busy nonetheless. Rapids girls softball, there's not any other kind in high school ranks. They took on Wausau East, and boy, that was a pretty quick night, my friends. 16-1, they have a mercy rule in 3 innings that if you're up by 15 or more runs, game's over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what Wisconsin Rapids did. You know, they're 3-0 to start the season. First win the conference race. They got a tough one coming up Thursday. They got to go up to DC Everest, and Everest just spanked Stevens Point through 7-1. They've got a really good pitcher. I heard she might be going D1. Addison Cluck. I know I talked about her last week.
Oh yeah.
But she's good. And Rapids has played very close with her over the last few years. Just couldn't get over the top. But looking at that game against East, you know, 16 runs on 14 hits, no errors. East, 1 run, 2 hits, 3 errors. Looking at the Rapid stat line, Annabelle Ross, 2-for-2, 2 runs, 3 RBI. Rachel Linsmeyer, 1-for-2, 2 runs, 3 RBI. But the big bat, and it's the young lady that I mentioned last week, freshman, Peyton Chabinski, 2-for-2, 2 runs, 4 RBI. That's outstanding. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 doubles, 1 stolen base. But, I mean, when a game's like that, you don't need another anymore stolen bases.
Yeah.
But just outstanding effort by Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln. They got a big one coming up on Thursday. I think they got a doubleheader out of town this weekend in La Crosse. So they could win two out of the next three, maybe three out of the next three. You never know. But if they beat Everest, they're going to be making a claim for that Wisconsin Valley Conference title, and that'll be the first one in 20 years.
Last one
they won was 2005 when I was a junior. So that could be a big deal there. Assumption softball, congratulations to them. They just keep rolling. They're 4-1. 4-1 now. Yeah, 4-1. Mm-hmm. They had a no hitter thrown this last weekend. Macy Vollert did that. Nakusa got a first win on softball diamond last night. They just crushed Pittsville one sided. But I still want to give a shout out to Port Edwards. And people say, why do you want to do that? They've started the season 0-2. I get that. Mm-hmm. First loss, they lost via perfect game to Alma Bancroft. Mm. They lost last night due to no-hitter of Pacelli, but you're talking to two teams that could potentially win the Division 5 and the Division 4 state titles that you start your season off with. Yeah. It will get better for Port.
Yeah, that's
tough, I guarantee it. Lincoln's going to start playing some more baseball coming up. Soccer's sitting at 1-2. So is Assumption Soccer sitting at 1-2. Baseball-wise, Coosa. They came up a little short last night. Port's doing well, and Assumption. They had started 0-3, and they were playing one of the better teams in Division 4 last night in Pacelli, the old fighting Wayne Sankey's up there fighting Cardinals. I'm good friends with their athletic director and the baseball coach, Wayne Sankey. And Assumption came back and beat them. 8-4, held on, had the bases loaded in the bottom or the top of the seventh, and Assumption got the job done. So, I mean, we're really starting to get going in the spring sports season and going to do what we can to bring you as much action here on 105.5 WIRI FM and WFHR if we have to.
Mm-hmm. We're big appreciation to all of our sponsors out there helping us do this. You know, we heard the stats in one of our meetings a little while ago. Nobody was doing more high school sports than us here at Civic, and especially locally here at WFHR and WIRI. And appreciate everybody's work and the sponsors and everybody being able to do that. We're looking forward to being able to bring you a lot of summer sports. And one of the things that I think that is exciting about this, being able to do that, along with all that that you were just saying there, Michael, is the rafter season just right on the cusp.
That's coming.
It's right there. You just can taste it. It's so close.
Now, that reminds me, speaking of them rafters, I got a guy pretty mad at me last weekend at one of the local watering holes the Astros were on, and Spencer Argetti was pitching. He's starting pitcher. And, of course, he played, I believe, the year of the coronavirus here in Rapids.
Yes.
And part of that rotation that was so good and just came up short. And guy was kind of making fun of his name and what kind of guy he doesn't look like he could be a pitcher. I'm like, well, he did pretty good in Wisconsin Rapids. He didn't play. And I'm like, yeah, he did. I'll bet you $20. He didn't. So I looked it up in some of the stories that I wrote about that. And I'm like, see, here he is. And needless to say, I did not see my $20. And, I almost caught a hand once just because I'm like, hey, I'm not. The guy was that mad. But I mean, it wasn't worth it. But either way, but it was, he did play in Rapids. Bryson Stott. Another one.
Another good one. And to that point, Michael, you just teed me up without even knowing it. I wanted to mention this. So you got this one sent over from the Northwoods League Press. Shout out to Matt Bomber over there for that. Former Traverse City Pitt Spiders Chad Patrick debuted for the Brewers. Chad Patrick made his major league debut late last month for the Brewers. Patrick is the 376th former Northwoods League player to reach the major league level. That is our stat of the show, 376. That is amazing.
He played out of where?
Pit Spiders.
Pit Spitters. Yeah, now you're thinking Dock Spiders. You threw me off. I'm like, Traverse City's Pit Spitters.
I mixed two teams together there.
Well, Traverse City's a tough one because I always got to make sure I say Pit Spitters because that one could get nasty.
Congratulations to him on that one. And also wanted to mention real quick, as long as we're talking Northwoods League baseball, a little wider than just our rafters, Richmond, Indiana is getting a team.
And after Kokomo folded,
That's pretty cool. I feel bad about Kokomo folding, but I think that's really cool to get Richmond in there and get another state involved. It only strengthens the Northwoods League and the amount of scouts we can bring in and help these kids get to the next level. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
You caught yourself there,
James. I did.
I did, too.
All right. Good evening, fellas.
Hey, Matt.
How you doing?
I got a few things to touch on here real quick. Does the name... there's been a lot of players that have hit a home run from both sides of the plate, but there's only been a handful that have, in the same game, but the first one to do it was a guy, and I think you really like this guy's name. The only reason I bring it up is because he was a pitcher. And his name was Wally Shang.
Oh, I think I've heard that.
He batted above 300 six times in his career, and his on-base percentage was .393. Ooh. So he was no slouch. For a pitcher, he also batted from both sides of the plate, and he was the first guy to hit a home run in the same game from both sides of the plate.
Ooh, all right.
Wow.
So that's my stat of the day. Now, you were talking about great athletes, and you were also talking about a lack of pitchers. Well, this is where we get into the football talk, because we got an excess of all these quarterbacks that can't find a place to go. Why don't they start pitching in baseball?
Hey.
And they could pitch in the summertime and still play the regular NFL season.
Don't ask me why this name and this person popped up in my head right away, but I just had the image of Joe Flacco starting for the Houston Astros. I don't know. Like, just for
Flacco, some, Astro, that's why.
I don't. Yeah, it must be. I don't know why I picked that guy. But in part because I don't believe that Joe Flacco will ever retire from sports. Like,
no.
Period. I don't believe it. If he was here right now and told me, no, I'm going to retire in 2 years, no, I don't believe you, Joe. I don't believe that he's going to.
I can see him golfing.
Yes,
I can see
any
him
sport.
Golfing.
That's a great stat, by the way, that you had there, and I love the idea, especially if it means we can keep some of these more fun. How great would Jameis Winston be as a starting pitcher in baseball? I don't mean great as in, like, statistically. I just mean a before and after the game interviewing him. God, deliver me from grand slams.
Well, I don't know. I could see Jameis Winston going more into a seafood restaurant chain.
Oh, yeah.
But
he should definitely. How that man did not get a Red Lobster deal while Red Lobster was still around and kicking.
Because they're all missing.
That's what he should have given them back some to get that deal. That was a marketing mistake.
He could have saved Red Lobster.
He could have.
Okay, I got another stat quick in a sport, and then I'm out.
All right.
Okay, this year, I heard this on some show earlier today. Oklahoma City in the NBA is 29-1 against the Eastern Conference.
Ooh, yeah, I heard something about that.
Yeah,
is that not crazy?
It's insane. That's a wild one.
Not a stat, but just an opinion. Michael Jordan is still the greatest. And when do they start saying, who's the next LeBron?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That's a good question.
That's a problem that the NBA has. Great stuff, brother. Great stuff.
That was
appreciate
good.
You. Have a great night, man. Yeah, just 3 for 3 on that one.
That was nice.
Two quick things. One, one of the biggest things facing the NBA right now is who the next face is going to be. Because every time they try to give somebody that, they John Morant it. They completely muck it up. Like, the kid can't get out of his own way. He's one of the most exciting players in the NBA. And one, he can't stay healthy, and two, he can't get out of his own head and make it more about the game than him.
You could argue that Doncic and then the one real big guy out of Denver.
Jokic, Wemby in
the
San
Joker.
Antonio.
Wemby was another one, but he can't stay healthy.
Here's the only catch, bro. Here's the only catch. None of them are American.
That's true.
And whether anybody wants to admit it or not, I don't see that I'm not saying that the NBA around the world might not look at, this is the face of the league, so-and-so. Wembanyama is the face of the league.
Yep.
But here in America, I don't know how long it's going to take. If it had ever happened, I don't see us ever crowning a non-American as the face of the league.
No. I get it.
I do too. I'm not even going to take shots at that. No. I'm one of the biggest homers, if not the biggest homer in this state, let alone anywhere
American
else.
Sport, it better be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I think that it's going to be hard because you have no American player that can compete with any of those guys, even in the MVP race or anything. Yeah. Even a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is kind of like, he's having an amazing career, maybe the MVP, and nobody even knows it because he's an OKC, which is a whole other conversation about coverage of basketball and all that.
Well, any sport.
Yeah. I wanted to mention this to piggyback off of what our caller was saying there about switch hitters, because I didn't know if you'd seen this or not. I thought this was pretty cool, and the only reason I haven't brought this up yet is because I am afraid of saying this young man's name. Gerangelo Clinjati. Klingjati. I have no idea how to say that.
But it looks good enough.
It is a name that we might have to learn to say because this kid in his his Major League, Seattle number 9 prospect, K6 over 4 scoreless innings. That was impressive. But then had the already well-known switch pitcher was on point in his first outing at high A Everett, striking out 6 over 4.
Switch pitcher. Okay.
He's a switch pitcher.
Now, I got some stats about that, though.
He's throwing. He struck out of the side while throwing 11 of his 13 pitches for strikes, and then had one pair, but both as southpaws before retiring the other two as a righty.
Yep.
So he's doing this on both sides, switch pitching.
What you need to do is you need to YouTube it. Pat Vendetti, switch pitcher.
Yeah,
Pat Vendetti when he pitched for the Wausau Woodchucks. Now, where that gets interesting is there's a good 5-7 minute video on the old YouTube machine of him going up against a switch hitter. And he would say, okay, he steps into the right batter's box. Okay, he's going to throw left, or he's going to throw righty. Okay, well, then he says, no, I'm going to go on the left. Well, then he's going to throw lefty, because it's lefty-lefty matchup, usually not a very good one. And they kept delaying the game, delaying the at-bat, and then finally the umpire said, batter, you must declare.
Mm-hmm.
And then that threw the batter struck out, and the batter got thrown out for arguing, why did I have to declare? Why can't he declare?
Yeah,
and the manager got thrown out, and the pitching coach almost got thrown out, and the hitting coach, because they were saying, why did he have to declare and not him? This is crap. He should have had to declare and not him. And it just snowballed and escalated. But yeah, you need to look that up.
I got it. Yeah, I remember the story a little bit. I got to look it up just to see more of it. With the conversation about Ohtani and some of the conversation about pitchers and batters and every day being able to do these things, and this kid being a switch thrower and all of that, I don't know how much of this stuff is actually going to change baseball or anything like that, but I do think it is what I think is a very cool storyline happening here is people pushing the ideas and trying and seeing where they can go with this. And just the attempt. Because without the attempt, we never get Ohtani. We never get a story like that. If people don't give them a chance, if he doesn't take a chance, if otherwise we don't have it. So just taking these chances could lead to a really cool story. Or maybe it just leads to where I thought our caller was going. I believe the first person to ever hit a home run from both sides of the plate, Dialgo or Guerrero, not Guerrero, it played for the Cleveland, I remember. But, it was kind of like, okay, that was a cool moment, and then he didn't really hear much of him other than that. He was a good player, but, it wasn't I don't know if he's even a Hall of Famer. Carlos Delgado?
Delgado? That might be it.
Regardless, instead of these guys just being a flash in the pan or a story for one day, it actually becoming something like an Ohtani.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know. I don't know if that'll happen or not, but I love that we're trying. I love that we're seeing people trying to do these things.
Pat Vendetti did make it into the majors. Right. I don't think he lasted real long. Obviously not a Hall of Fame career, but he made it.
That's what, hey, to me, that is everything almost to me, and just making it into the big dance to the game. I like the idea too of the one of my favorite things in all of sports is the pitcher and batter face off in the chess match that is. I love the idea of as much as some people might hate this and MLB might even hate this. I love the idea of dragging that out a little bit more before a pitch is even thrown, and both guys just being able to know I'm throwing left. Okay, well I'm doing this. Well, I'm doing this. That's a fantastic story to have happen right in front of you at a game.
It is. Yeah.
We'll take a timeout. Our final one of the game. We'll be right back with more show. Playmakers brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR. Hope you're having a great night out there. Thanks for joining us. Michael and James hanging out with you. One more time today, wish a very happy birthday to Pam Hilke, the heart of this station. We appreciate you, Pam.
Happy birthday, Pam.
Appreciate you so much. We are a sports show, so we have to mention that the Masters is right around the corner. Jim Nance is planning to do this for another 30 years, it sounds like, so we can get used to him doing this.
Yeah.
That's awesome, by the way. Shout out to Jim Nance. I only know what I know of golf from my little brother who loves golf and doesn't have a lot of people to talk about with golf, so I learn what I can just so we can talk about golf. So I'm not going to ever pretend that I know anything about the sport, really. familiar.
Oh, I know nothing about
anything
it.
About that. But I will say, even I know that the Masters and Jim Nantz are legends, and that is a tournament that even brings my eyeballs to it when it's in, you know, coming into Sunday and it's a close run or something like that. I'll be interested to see if Rory can end up winning it all. And again, even a storyline I know about in that'll be interesting. One other thing that I wanted to get to, Michael, before we wrapped up today, was not only NFL draft and Major League Baseball, but talking about what you wanted to get to as far as like any of these sports, any of these things. I feel like I don't do that enough. What's on your mind, man? What do you got?
I just saw one that came up, and it's unfortunate. I guess Tyreek Hill, Dolphins. Very good athlete for the Dolphins, just involved with a domestic dispute incident with his wife. No charges are filed or anything like that. And I guess it's just one thing to kind of, you know, remember. And I'm not siding with anybody that does that now. But the other side of it, too, is, you know, I've had friends that have been involved in stuff with that. And it's always... there's always two sides of it, and this is, I'm not saying that he's innocent or guilty by any matter, but it's always two sides of it, and it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it, because there were no charges filed, what the legal do about it, because he was, his name to get brought up in it, but yeah, that was the most breaking news, and it just put me down just in the last 5 minutes of something to thinking about it, of my friends who've been accused of something. Okay, well then how come they're the ones with the bruises and the glasses, but did they do something to put themselves in the spot to have that? You know what I'm saying?
I know
in
what
a
you're
self
saying.
In a self defense, and it's just a very, it's a horrible situation that's going to be drug out in the media, and the decisions are going to be made before all the facts are known.
You know? Our judicial system and our public judicial system, yep. Our public opinion and our public, you know, hanging of people and everything, we tend to jump the gun on a lot of things.
Guilty till proven innocent, unfortunately.
I will admit to everybody, and I admit that I'm biased on this one too, but when it comes to this particular subject, this is maybe the only subject in the world where I lean towards always believing the victim. I always lean that direction.
We've talked about that. Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying, and I've even been on the other side of some guilty stuff that I didn't do and everything.
Yeah.
So I completely hear you on that.
You know, I always think of kind of like the Duke thing. You know, that's
the thing that stands out to me about this with Tyreek Hill, or really any insert name of a character that has been in multiple situations.
McManus, that was another one.
Continuing to put yourself in situations, and you can throw your hands up in the air all you want and say that it was so and so's fault or so and so's fault.
Yeah.
You got to take responsibility.
Yep.
And I don't understand more and more. I've mentioned this many times. I get my break as an actor. I am going to be the most boring celebrity of all time. People will freak out if they see me eating toast, because I will not do a darn thing to lose my break. Mm-hmm. I never understand that. The idea of a human being working so dang hard to get to this level. I don't care if you're talking about as a mechanic or you're talking about a football player working so hard to get to this level and blowing it. Over what? Over what? And again, insert, you know, knucklehead situation. That'll never make any sense to me. So to continue to put yourself in these bad situations, whether you are guilty or not, is here or there. That's the courts to decide. Public opinion speaks.
Yep.
And NFL owners are looking.
Yep.
And you are an athlete who, again, going back to the college athletes, where every down is a job interview.
Yep.
In the NFL, every day is an interview. I don't care if you're Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes messes up one time, one big bad mistake, and he's out of the league.
Yep.
I think for younger people, you might not remember this or anything, but there was a point where Michael Vick was almost the face of the NFL.
Yep.
And every single person loved Michael Vick.
Yep.
I remember Packer fans even not getting mad at Vick. They were getting mad at the defense. It was one of the few times in my life I've seen that, where I saw Packer fans not yelling at an opposing quarterback. They were yelling at their defense for not stopping
it. I remember that game, baby.
And one mess up and done. And done. Yeah, he came back.
He did
and
come
all
back.
Yeah, yeah. Not like it, he lost not only years and millions, I believe lost a Hall of Fame career. He ain't getting to the Hall.
I agree.
He ain't getting to the Hall.
No way.
So, I mean, the things he lost from that, the idea of blowing it all over one dumb mistake, over one knucklehead move, and putting yourself in those positions that can happen.
Right.
Again, be boring. Be boring.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sorry to go down that path with it, because I mean, I had plenty of other things, but I just read that and it's like, man, you know, no charges, no nothing, but your name still got brought up in it, and now you're going to be dealing with that and all the offseason, yeah, whatever repercussions come from it. It comes to your point again, man. Just stay home. Just be quiet. You know, lock yourself in a closet. Do whatever.
Whatever you got to do, man. Just to not get in trouble. Do it.
Yeah.
Yankees Cody Bellinger has swore off chicken rings after he got food poisoning from them.
I can attest to that. For the longest time, I wouldn't touch. Onion rings. So I mean, I get it. I got sick off of them. Maybe it was the food. I overindulged. But I wouldn't touch them for the longest time. But there's one that I got a stomach bug off of, and it was, believe it or not, doesn't sound good, but it was really good. One of my grandma's recipes was lentil soup. And this was going on 20 years ago in college. I still can't even look at it.
Oh, man, dude. I am like that with Southern Comfort.
Oh, yeah.
I long story short, probably did a little too much of that.
It happens.
Too much. this is all, I'm bringing this up, though, because to tease our next show when we get together on Friday, I want to get into one of my favorite subjects every baseball season, the most superstitious athletes of all time and the fun superstitions baseball players.
Oh, wait, I did that wrong.
Perfectly. Nice full circle there, man. Nicely done.
I had to be a pallbearer in a funeral today, so I pallbearer the wrestling. We got to do our wrestling show one of these times. But
that's the next thing we're doing. Especially like
WrestleMania coming.
There is a week in the sports calendar where there's nothing happening during the Major League All-Star break and everything, and there's no other sports going on or anything. That's what we're doing. We're doing it that week. Like nonstop wrestling talk all week long.
Bang, bang.
It's been a fun show. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us, Michael.
Yeah, it's good times always.
Want to encourage everybody to check out Michael, not only when you hear him broadcasting these sports for us, but his reporting that he's doing in our WFHR newsletter. Get on over to WFHR.com, sign up for that newsletter, keep up to date on everything local you need, whether it's weather, and you know, different stories going on, and then certainly sports. We appreciate you not only signing up for the newsletter, but encourage you to spread the word about it. Have a good night, everybody. We'll be back on Friday.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.